Okay, we'll take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. Luke 10. Of course, we're going to be speaking on the family tonight, and in particular, we're going to be talking about teaching your children to walk with God. You know, there's some truths that you have to teach your kids, and there's some truths that they learn on their own. Ones like this: no matter how hard you try, you can't baptize cats. That's just one of those things that they learn all on their own. You don't have to tell them that. Here's another one that kids learned on their own. Someone gave me these jokes, by the way. This must be a girl. When your mom is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair. You can just picture that right there. If your sister hits you, don't hit her back. They always catch the second person. You can't trust dogs to watch your food for you. Here's another one with hair. Don't sneeze when someone's trying to cut your hair. And then puppies still have bad breath even after eating a Tic Tac. Yeah, they fed the dog a Tic Tac. And then a classic one: you can't hide a piece of broccoli in a glass of milk. You've got to picture these things, you know. Luke chapter 10, really though, it's... I love to teach on the family. I think it's great to be part of a church where so many people really want to learn about the family. It's refreshing, and it's a blessing, and it makes it a whole lot easier to prepare and to teach when you know there's people who actually want to listen. So, a couple people have already said, "Are you teaching tonight, brother?" That looks like one of your outlines. And then someone earlier said, "Oh, sounds like you're writing a book." So I only have 22 pages, and I'm not planning to get through them all. You'll notice that there's less blanks to fill in as you go along, so you have some scriptures there. I fully understand we won't get it all done, and that's okay. So we'll get what we can done. Now, there's been a lot of practical teaching about the family. A lot of practical teaching about raising your kids, things to do, things not to do. But as we think about, you know, what's the most important thing you can do for your kids? What's the most important job a parent has? Well, some might say, well, provide food and shelter and raiment. That's pretty good. Others would say, ensure they get a good education. Not just a good education, but a Christian education. That's pretty good, too. Others say, no, I've got to build character and instill some self-discipline and correct their wrong behavior. All of those are important, but they're not our foremost duty as parents. As parents, we should have three main objectives in teaching our children. The first one should be to know God. And I've got verses for this, but I don't have time to get to everything here. So the second objective would be to love God. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, right? And then the third one would be to walk with God. And that's where I want to key in on this evening, is teaching our children to walk with God. Mary and Martha provide a very important lesson for us. And we're here in Luke chapter 10. We'll begin here in verse number 38. It says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he, Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" Let's pray. Father, we do thank you again for your word and ask that you give clarity of thought as I teach. And I pray that each one would listen and we'd apply these things to our lives as parents, but not just that, apply them to our lives as Christians. There's many people in here who are not parents, not yet parents. And I just ask that you would have your will and way and help me to focus on what needs to be said. There's more material here than there is time to cover, so I pray you'd help us as we get through this. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. So, Jesus, of course, we all know the passage. Jesus said that one thing was needful. You see, Martha was focused on the external. She was focused on the physical things in life. Mary was concentrated on the internal things. She was concentrated on spiritual matters. Martha was, what we could say, she was walking for God, doing things for Him. Mary was walking with God. Now think about how you, if you're a parent, how you're training your children. Are you just trying to instill in them all the things they should do? Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, do this, do this, do this. And you're trying to shape them into this perfect little servant? Or are you focused on trying to teach them to become a Mary and have a heart that loves God and wants to follow God? And I'm not trying to belittle practical advice, because even a lot of what I'm going to give you tonight is practical advice. And all the ideas of training character and all, and discipline, instilling self-discipline, all that's important. I'm not trying to negate that in any way. But we can't neglect the most important thing of all. And that's getting our kids to walk with God. And I hope this will make more sense as we go along. So I want to consider this subject about teaching our children to walk with God. And we're going to start, first of all, here by looking at a picture. That's the first point. So if you got your outline, you will notice that there are fewer blanks to fill in as we go along. Because when we get to main point number three, you basically have it and you can study it on your own. So first thing we'll do is look at a picture. We learned some spiritual lessons by considering how a child learns to walk physically. I was just trying to think, okay, how do you teach a child to walk? You say, well, you don't teach a child to walk. Well, really, there are some things that you do that helps them to walk, believe it or not. And we're going to cover that. And these ideas really help us as we put together an idea of how to teach our kids how to walk with God spiritually. So imagine a little child taking their first steps. Well, it's usually considered a major milestone. And then once they do start taking their first steps, your life has just gotten complicated because you can't keep up with them. And you worry, where's that pack and play? I'm going to stick them in there for a couple hours so I can get some things done, right? You don't want to carry them around for the rest of their life. You want them to walk. And the same thing spiritually. You're not going to try to carry your children spiritually the rest of their life. They must learn to walk with God. And learning to walk with God physically is pretty quick process. It doesn't take months and months and months. But learning to walk with God takes years. That's why you have kids in your house for 18 or so years. So teaching to walk physically here gives a picture of how to teach kids to walk spiritually. So what are some things that you do? You might not even know some of these things that you do to help them get started. But first of all, letter A there, if you're going to keep your outline, is start early. Start early. You don't wait until a child's a teenager before you encourage him to walk. You know, some people, you know, think, well, my kid's going to be the super baby. He's going to be walking at 5 months. You know, more power to you, right? but you're not going to wait till they're 18. It's kind of ridiculous before you get them to start. So you start when they're young, and you are, you know, people get their little Johnny jump ups there, and they're jumping up and down their little thing, and you know, they're learning to get their legs moving and all that type of stuff. And so you don't wait till your children are old, too old to begin to develop a walk with God. Paul said to Timothy that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And so we got to start early. When they can first begin to read, then they should begin reading the Bible. Really. They should, my kids, we started them out having their own personal devotions when they were around 5 years old, when they started to learn to read. Now, we didn't give them huge, long passages, but we helped them get started. So start early. Secondly, there, letter B, is strengthen them. So before infants walk, you know, before an infant can walk, he's got to have some strength. And it takes time of exercising and eating, you know.
And you've got to feed your children spiritually with the Word of God to help them get strong and help them build some spiritual muscles, right? That physical child, you don't think about it, but they don't even know how to lift up their, they're not even strong enough to lift up their head. You know, it takes time to develop those muscles, and it takes time they're rolling around, they're developing their core muscles, and they're going to need their hands to pull up someday, and so they're picking things up, they're moving their hands, they're getting strength that way, and so they keep adding strength. But in like manner, our children need to be strengthened spiritually if they're ever going to be able to walk with the Lord. So we got to feed them a steady diet of the Word of God, and they need to be exercised unto godliness. And we need to lay a good foundation in them. And this idea you can really develop on your own and think about it. It starts by teaching them who God is, right? He's the Creator. He's our Father. He's our friend. He's a Savior. You need to teach them what He's like. You know, He's love. He's holy. He's wise. He's good. He's just. He's powerful. All of these things. And you have to teach them how He interacts with people, and that He does want to deal with people. So you teach your children the basics of having a relationship with Him. Teach them that He's holy. Man is sinful. Sin separates us from God. And man must repent. And then Christ is the one who reconciles. These are all things. And by the way, as I'm giving you ideas, it's not like you're going to go through and have one set of lessons and think you're all done. These are all truths that you need to continue to reiterate over and over and over. Just like we come to church and we hear preaching on the same thing over and over and over again, because it takes a while to sink in. And so we just continue to do that. Then, so you got to teach how do children learn how to walk physically? Well, we gave you a couple points, but here's another one. Letter C, would you provide them with some examples? You know, kids are great imitators. They copy what they see other people do. We've all heard the story. I remember doing this myself. You know, about these little kids, you know, 2-3 years old, getting in their dad's shoes. You know, they're way too big and trying to walk and follow their dad, right? I walked out the house one day. And I was trying to follow my dad to work, and it was wintertime, and I wasn't dressed for that, but I had his shoes on. And that was all I needed, right? So small children, they're motivated to walk when they see their parents walk, when they see their peers walking. It makes them want to walk too. And spiritually, if you walk with God, you can motivate your children to want to walk with God too. But if you're not walking with God, you're not going to motivate your children. You can tell them to walk with God all you want. If you're not walking with God, they're not going to walk with God. And we've got to have a walk with Him. So what kind of example, then, we should ask, do we have for our children? Do you, parent, walk with the Lord? Are you consistent with your devotions? Well, you want your children to be consistent. And if you're not consistent, how do you expect your children to become consistent? How do you react to trouble? See, part of walking with God is not flying off the handle all the time. Do you? And you're going to teach your kids not to, but you do? See, walking with God is not just reading your Bible and praying. It's how you live. Do you walk in the Spirit, or does the flesh control your actions and your reactions? Do you make things right with each other, with people that you've offended? Do you apologize for your wrong actions? It's amazing. We tell our children to say sorry. You know, they do something wrong to their siblings. Say sorry to your brother. Sorry. You know? And then we offend our kids and we do something wrong, say something wrong, we act the wrong way, and we won't apologize to them? Oh. So you're telling them one thing and you're not doing it yourself. So as parents, we must be sure that we are a good example, but not just that, but that their peers, they're going to learn to walk how their peers walk. And if their friends walk with God, they're going to be challenged to walk with God. If their friends are reprobates, then they shouldn't be their friends. And you shouldn't let them hang out with them. So you can teach a lot about that. And anyway, so we're learning this little picture of a little child, this little infant trying to learn to stand up and walk and take some steps. And one of the things they need is a good example. Letter D in the outline is let them cruise. Let them cruise. Cruising is a term used to describe a child when he pulls himself up next to an object like a couch or something and pulls himself along. And now he thinks he's walking, but he's really not. Right? He's in this cruising stage. Now, when they're little infants physically, that cruising stage doesn't last too long, but spiritually, it lasts a long time. And so that helps a little child as they're cruising along. They're trying their best, and you know, they're getting a little stronger. They're getting a little stronger. And we need to encourage our kids when they're quote unquote cruising, trying to walk with God. You know, at 5 years old, they're not going to be John the Baptist. You know, but if he's reading his Bible at five, he's going to get stronger. And he's shows an interest in reading his Bible. You can say, that's great. I'm glad you're doing that. Don't expect that your kids are going to find God's will for their lives at the age of 13. But you can be happy if they're interested in it. See, they're cruising. And the early years in your home are just cruising times, okay? And you help them. They're going to have ups. They're going to have downs. They're going to have some successes. They're going to have some failures. They're going to have some times where they're consistent. They're going to have some times where they're not. These are all opportunities for you to see how they're living, how they're interacting with God, how they're interacting with you, how they're interacting with their brothers and sisters, how they're interacting with their friends. And you can see their problems, and you can help them approach them spiritually. Now, let me continue here. Letter E would be hold their hand. Hold their hand. Right? A little child who wants to walk, he gains coordination and balance by holding mom's hand as he's walking along. And we hold their hands by having family devotions with them. You know, when you have family devotions, you're indirectly teaching them how to apply the truth of the Bible. You think about it. You read the Bible, you explain a little bit. You read a little more, you explain a little bit. You're developing a pattern for them to see how to study God's Word for their own. That's just an indirect way. And prayer time and family devotions teaches them how to pray. Parents also hold their hand spiritually by helping them to develop a time of personal devotions, as I've already mentioned. Little children aren't going to get a whole lot out of your family devotions. They're not probably going to get much out of their personal devotions. But they're learning something. They're learning there's a God. They're learning that the Bible's an important book. And they're learning that they need help, and they can talk to God who can help them. So what you're doing is you're holding their hand in this process. You're developing a God consciousness. There's a lot of kids in this world that are growing up without a God consciousness. They have no clue what to do with their problems. They have no clue how to interact with other people. They don't want to know how to interact with other people. They don't know what's right and wrong. They do, but they don't. They have no moral compass. We'll talk about that in a moment here. So the next one, letter F, would be establish boundaries. So when your children learn to walk, you don't let them just go anywhere. If you do, you're not doing your job. You establish boundaries for their protection. Okay, so take example. Someone's got a wood stove in their house. You know, they're probably going to teach their toddler to stay away from the wood stove so they don't get burned, right? And in every neighborhood and every home, there's some places and some things that should be off limits. And the same is true with walking with God. Children need to know what God forbids. That there's some things that some attitudes they can't have, and there's some actions they can't have. And you got to make sure that they understand that it's God that says that. You can't be disrespectful. Why? Don't back talk to mom or dad. Don't back talk to your father. I'm bigger than you. I can let you have it. That's not the reason that they should respect you. The reason they should respect you is because God says to the children that they should, children, honor your parents. That's why they should respect. Not because you're bigger than them and you can put the hurt on them or you can take all their privileges away. And so we've got to understand why we're setting boundaries and how we enforce them. So they got to know what's right, what's wrong, and that it's God that says it. And there's conditions to walking with God. They must be going in the same direction He's going. You know, if you're walking with somebody and they're going one way and you're going another way, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure you're not walking with them anymore. And if God's going this way and you've taught them the way that God says to go and they're going a different way, it's pretty obvious then that they're not walking with God. And you can point that out. Say, God is this and He's going this way and this is the way He says we're supposed to go. You're going this way. Are you right with the Lord? No. But this, you need to help them understand that it's a relationship with God. Their behavior has all to do with their relationship with God. And it's important that they understand what's right and wrong. As I've said, a lot of people in our society, they have no moral compass. But we can give our children a moral compass. They can know definites, absolutes, right and wrong, not because it's my opinion versus your opinion. Listen to the politicians, right? The Democrats, they all say they're right. The Republicans, they all say they're right. And they're all emphatic about it. Are they all right? No. What's right? Right there. This is the guide that we use them to teach right and wrong. And so we establish biblical boundaries. Letter G would be correct their gait. Say, what do you mean by that? All right. Right in front of the girls' dorm in that grassy area. Not exactly where those reeds are all growing up now. There used to be a tree house. And so we were home on a furlough one time, and my son was up there in the tree house playing with some children. And some other kid had this brilliant idea that he would just push John out of the tree house. So John went tumbling out of the tree house, landed, I don't know, his hip or his back or something. He came home, he complained of some pain, you know, oh, this hurts, you know. I was like, oh, okay, yeah. Just, you know, you'll be all right. That's what you always tell your kids, right? And it was during the summer, and they're getting ready to go, you know, they're doing they're getting ready to training, running the lake for the cross country race. Now, John was born a runner. I mean, but he didn't walk. He never started to walk. His first steps were running. And he still loves to run. Well, he was trying to run the lake. And I'm looking at, it's like, your time's pretty messed up. And I'm looking at him, he's like running cockeyed. He's like crooked. I say, what is wrong with you? Something got a little misplaced when he was tossed out of the treehouse. You know, it hurts to run. So we got him to the doctor, and he helped us get it adjusted. And pretty soon, his gait was straight. So the point is this. When our children are hurt physically, we help them get straightened out, don't we? It's a little easier to sometimes get them straightened out physically than it is spiritually. But spiritually, we need to try to do the same thing. Get them straightened out. When our children are not walking on that straight and narrow, there's something wrong. And we can't allow our children to go through life cockeyed and out of sorts with God. We're going down the wrong path, so we've got to straighten them out. And how do we straighten out their gait spiritually? Discipline, right? Yeah. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Notice it's a rod of correction. It's not a rod of revenge. Took him to the doctor to get the problem corrected, and he got straightened out, and he was able to run. And we need to make sure that when we're disciplining our children, it's not because we're trying to get back at them, not because we're angry at them, not because we're going to make them pay, they broke my thing. No, we're going to correct bad behavior, and we're correcting those missteps so that they go forward and go straight and have a good life. A lot of it just comes right back down to your perspective on things. Then, letter H, you say, what? Cheer them on. Okay, imagine Junior now. Mom and Dad are across the room a few steps away. Come to Bobby, you know. And then Junior's standing up there, and he, all of a sudden, he all by himself, he takes his first step and his second step and his third step. And mom and dad's the first kids taking the first steps. They're jumping up and down. Yeah, they're clapping. Yeah, Junior. You don't have to get that dramatic when your kids walk with God, but there's some excitement. They're taking some steps. Parents, it's okay for us to show some excitement when our children show a little bit of interest in walking with the Lord. You can actually pat them on the back. You can pat them on the head. You can say, attaboy. Attagirl. Whatever. And sometimes, you know, we only acknowledge when they do something wrong. And we fail to cheer them on when they do something right. Now, how do you talk to your children? Think of this verse in terms of child rearing. Proverbs 12:18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. Poking, cutting. But the tongue of the wise is health. Build them up a little bit. Cheer them on. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Edify one another. That's okay to even edify our children. One day we're all hoping to hear the Lord say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I've given you some other verses if you want to look up on edifying sometime. Let's get to the second point. Principles. All right, we looked at this picture. You know, a little infant trying to learn how to walk and learn some parallel things for us. But let's look at some principles. And this is concerning teaching your children to walk with God. A few basic ones. First one, letter A. Children must learn to walk with God. It's not just for adults. Children need to learn. We'll say, well, it's just for adults. Well, then when do they learn? When they become an adult? Well, when do they become adult? 18? So at 18, they have to start learning to walk with God? I think you waited a little too long. Micah 6:8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee. This is something that's required. But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. So everyone's supposed to walk with God. And when should they learn how to do it? As a child. That's why we've been given our children for a number of years in our home. Secondly, letter B there, parents must teach your children to walk with God. So children must learn, but it's parents who must teach them. You know, don't expect the school to do it. Well, I send my kids to Sunday school. Sunday school, you know, once a week, that's not going to do it. Teaching them is it's a nonstop process. Ephesians 6:4 says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the word, of the Lord. You know, there's two words here that are important. The word nurture refers to correction. Got that, an idea of discipline. The word admonition speaks of gentle reproof and instruction. So it takes both things. Parents aren't merely to correct, that's the nurturing, but we're supposed to admonish and instruct them in the ways of the Lord. Some people only focus on the correcting part, just correcting all the problems. You know, it's just, I'm going to go, investigator. Everything's just correcting problems, but there has to be some instruction. Spurgeon said about this passage, undue harshness and irritating severity are here forbidden, but holy discipline and religious training are commanded. And Timothy, he had a godly mother and godly grandmother, and Paul said of Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. So it must be taught in the home. Third point is letter C. Parents and children then must understand what it means to walk with God. Now, parents need to understand so they can teach their children to walk with God. And the children need to understand so they can learn how to do it. So what are some, the Scriptures actually reveal some things about walking with God. I am going very fast. I understand this. I wish I had time to take and really develop all of these points, but it's like five different sermons and all in one, and I don't have that time. So let's continue. First one, we're talking about walking with, what is walking with God? We've got some scriptures that help us with this. First of all, number one, We see a desire for God. There has to be a desire for God. This is one of the things that's involved with walking with God. There's got to be a desire. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was found, not found because God had translated him. For before this, his translation, he had this testimony. Here's the testimony. That he pleased God. And then it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So in other words, what was pleasing to God? What's pleasing to God is when someone diligently seeks God. They have a desire to know God. And that's how Enoch was walking with God. And your kids live in your house. You can see if they have a hunger and a desire for God. You can see the receptiveness they have when they're sitting at family devotions. You can see when you try to correct them. You can see when you say, God says this and you're going this way. And you can, must have some sense of an understanding of whether or not they have a desire. And if they don't have the right desire, then you've got to work on them and you've got to help them and you've got to address those problems. Enoch had that hunger. And your children cannot walk with God unless they want to spend time with him. There's got to be a desire. And if there's no desire, you've got to develop that. So how do I do that? Walk with God yourself. And then let them see it. And then, as David, you can say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Secondly, another thing that is involved with walking with God is living for God. Noah gives us this example. And this is in Genesis 6, 8, 9. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Living for God is something that's involved in walking with God. The earth was corrupt, was filled with violence, according to verse 11. But Noah was righteous. He was still following the Lord. And so if our children are going to walk with God, they need to follow him despite what everyone else is doing around them. And that's one thing you need to teach them, that part of walking with God is just doing what God says and pleasing him. And it doesn't matter how bad everyone else is. Because when you address them with something, you shouldn't be doing this. Well, so-and-so does it. And this is one I love the most. Pastor so-and-so's kids do it. They love throwing it out on the staff kids get to do it. Oh, they just love that. You know, anyway, it's not always true either, by the way, when they're giving you that line. But they've got to want to walk with God, and then they've got to live for God regardless of what anyone else is doing around them. And then thirdly, there's got to be some communication with God. So part of, obviously, walking with God is talking with him. And in Genesis chapter 6, the Lord said unto Noah. So God was talking to him and they were having communication. And our children have got to learn to hear God through the scriptures and to pray to him. So there's got to be some communication. If they're not praying to God and they're not reading his word, they're obviously not walking with God, and you've got to help them with that. Number four, another thing that involves walking with God is obedience to God. So the Lord told Noah all the things to do and get ready. He said, make thee an ark. So what did Noah do? According to Genesis 6:22, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So if our children are going to walk with God, they must learn to do all that God commanded them. Just like Noah. All that God commands. So it goes back to God again, doesn't it? It's not just mom and dad said. Yes, it's mom and dad said, but it's because God told mom and dad to tell you. Everything, all of their actions and reactions have to be directed right back to God. That's how you're going to teach them to walk with God. You've got to make them conscious that there is this relationship. It might not be a good one because of how they're living, but there is a relationship, and it's your job to pull this out and help them understand. And then, last of all, there needs to be agreement with God. That's number five. Agreement with God. The prophet Amos, he warned the children of Israel that they were going to be punished for their sins in verse number 2 there of chapter 3. But then he wanted them to see that they were not in agreement with God. And he said, can two walk together except they be agreed? So you have to teach your children, God is always right. And you have to be honest with them and say, there's going to be sometimes you don't want to do what God wants you to do. And you have to be honest and say, sometimes I don't want to do what God wants me to do. Really, Mom and Dad? Yeah, because I'm a sinner just like you. How do you figure you got it? You got it from me. And so teach your children that God's always right and help understand that our sinful hearts don't always want to do what's right. But if we are in agreement with Him, things go well for us. But when we're in disagreement with Him, we're not walking with Him anymore. And then things are going to go not so well. Simple little truths that we got to understand. So we got a pretty difficult job then, right? Walking with God's an internal matter. It's a decision that the child has to make for himself. It's not a decision that the parent can make for them. Isn't that frustrating at times? You want your children to walk with God. You tell them to walk with God. You instruct them how to walk with God, and they're not walking with God. But you have to create that desire and influence them. So letter D would be children must decide to walk with God. You might want your kids to walk with God, but they got a free will. Now, I think that if you are teaching them and giving them a good example, they're going to walk with God too. But let's be pretty honest about this. Do you walk with God every day? No. Are they going to walk with God every day? No. But you help them back up so they can continue to walk with God. Now, this verse is written to all Christians, Romans 6:13. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So everyone's supposed to yield themselves to God. You either yield yourself to sin or you yield yourself to God, and you've got to explain that to the children. Again, all these lessons I'm teaching you tonight that you have to teach your children, that you're not going to teach them in one sitting. You have to continually bring them back, but continue to bring their focus back to the Lord and help them make the right choice of following the Lord. Let me just skip through some of these things. Let's get down to letter E. Parents must focus on the heart. Now, you'll notice there's some subpoints here too. At least we can get through points 1 and 2 tonight. Parents must focus on the heart. Our goal should be to correct the heart. Now, listen to me, not just correct the behavior. I think a lot of times we're so focused on, you did this wrong, I'm going to correct you. And yeah, I understand we need to correct bad behavior. But you can make children, you can correct behavior without correcting their heart. You really can. You can get your children to comply even if they don't want to obey. Partly because you're bigger than them. You do as I say, or. And they learn at a young age, or is not usually a good option, so I'll do what they say. You don't have their heart. But because of all the externals you put on them, they'll buckle down and do it. You know? And you haven't necessarily fixed the problem. However, if you reach the heart, the behavior will change. Okay, so I'm not saying we shouldn't correct bad behavior, but that's not our goal. Our goal is to correct the heart, and if we can get that accomplished, the behavior will be corrected also. And a lot of times it's all focused on the outside, the externals, and you did this, and you did this, and you did this, and we're not pointing them back to God, and we're not trying to get them right in a right relationship back with the Lord, and we're putting all the, we're putting the screws down on them. And I'm not saying you shouldn't, you know, discipline, and, you know, we teach that, but I'm saying you got to get to the heart. You can John Wayne it all you want, but if that doesn't get to the heart, it might get them to buckle down and do what you said because you are bigger than them. Walking with God is a matter of the heart. It's not a matter of conforming to rules. And some children never learn this. They think, well, I did this, I'm a good Christian. There's a lot of young people that grow up here that they do a lot of the right things, but they don't walk with God. It's a rule. It's a set of rules to them. It's no relationship. So I want to consider a few reasons why it's important to focus on the heart. Number one, underneath here, love for God comes from the heart. If you don't focus on the heart, you're not going to get that little love mechanism working right. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." Love them with what? All the heart. If our children are ever going to walk with God, their hearts must learn to love Him more than anything else in the world. And so when we see their affections are on things below and not things above, we can come alongside and say, now wait a minute. It seems like you're loving this a little too much and you're not loving it, the Lord, as much as you love it. So now we have a reference point then to correct them. It's not just, you shouldn't like that. Why? Because I said so. Okay, I won't when you're around, but I will when you're not. You see how that works? And so what we need to do is have that reference point say, no, you ought to love God first, and that comes from the heart. You're trying to reach the heart. Secondly, actions come from the heart. Now, Solomon charged his son with these very important words in Proverbs 4:23. He said, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Out of it are the issues of life. The word issues means the outgoings. In other words, the actions of a person stem from the heart. So you show your children that their behavior is not an accident. Why'd you do that? I don't know. How many times have you asked your kid, why did you do that? I don't know. Well, you know why they did that. They have an evil heart. Something bad's in the heart. And so you're not really helping them a lot. Why did you do that? I don't know. No, help them know why. The reason why you did this is because it was first in your heart. And you're trying to get them to understand their heart's not as good as they think they are. If we just follow the world's line of reasoning that everyone's like get a little spark of divinity inside. You know, we're all good people. We're inherently good. No, we're not. We're inherently bad. And we're sinners, and that puts us at odds with God. That means we need forgiveness, and that means we need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ who can bridge that gap between us and the Father. And this is how we teach them to walk with God. So actions come from the heart. Number three, words come from the heart. I wrote down Matthew 15:18. That's a good verse, and it goes more with the second point, the next point, number four. But let me give you another verse here. Matthew 12:34. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You ever say, man, I don't know where that came from. I don't know why I said that. I don't know where that came from. I'll tell you where it came from. A bad heart. I know my heart is it's inherently evil. You know, you ever get scared to death what might come out of your mouth? We got a bad heart. And they need to understand that. Number four, sin comes from the heart. Jesus said in Mark 7, 21 through 23, he said, "For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. They come out of the heart," he said. So teach your children what their heart's like and what's in their heart and why things come out of their heart. And get them to see that their actions are sinful because they have a corrupt heart. And then point them to Christ as the one who can cleanse them, as the one who can change them. And so now when they've sinned and they've disobeyed, it's not just that they disobeyed you, they've disobeyed God, and you can bring them and say, you need to be forgiven, you need to be cleansed, you need to tell the Lord you're sorry, you need to seek His forgiveness so things can be right between you again. So discipline then can be a time where you can instruct them not to get back at them because they've done bad and they've made you mad, but so that you can help their relationship with the Lord be right again. All right, number five, forgiveness comes from the heart. Jesus taught that forgiveness is a decision of the heart. So when warning of judgment, he said, "So likewise," this is in Matthew 18:35, "so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." Jesus said forgiveness has to come from the heart. Your children will have people do bad things to them. They will be wronged. And you're going to have to teach them how to forgive people. And that forgiveness has to come from the heart. And if you fail to teach them to forgive, they're going to have bitterness in their heart in all relationships of life as they grow up. They'll never learn how to get over things. You're not giving them a good life. But if you teach them from the heart to be able to learn how to forgive others, wow. Number six, true obedience comes from the heart. Romans 6:17, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." And in Ephesians 6:6, "doing the will of God from the heart." Solomon, we'll just turn just a couple real quickly. Proverbs 2, there's a whole list of them there. And you can, that'd be a great study for you and your family if you're looking for something in family devotions sometime. All these verses have to do with lessons that Solomon taught his son about the heart. Why? Because Solomon wasn't trying to just correct behavior. Solomon was trying to get his son's heart. And in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, "My son," he's just like, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine what? Heart to understanding." Then it goes down through all this. If you do all this, you're going to have a good life, is what he's saying. You read those verses. In chapter 4, verse 4, he's talking about his father. David had taught him. He taught me also and said unto me, "Let thine heart retain my words." And just verse after verse, verse after verse, verse 21. We already read it. "Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart." Keep God's words, my sayings, in the midst of your heart. He talked about lust not after a woman in thine heart. He talked about all sorts of problems and all sorts of things that can prevent the problems if we have our hearts right. And he wanted his son to internalize a relationship with God, not just do this, do this, do this, do this. You're bad, you're bad, you're bad. No, no. I hope this is making sense to you. I hope I'm getting it across. I'm going to close with an example of Daniel. He stood, didn't he? Young man, and he stood. Why did he stand? Well, his parents did a good job training him. I agree with that. They taught him character. They instilled self-discipline, and he was able to just stand. He must have been a Fairhaven wrestler, right? He was on the mat just grinding, just... that all is nice, but that's a little speculative. Let's see what the scripture says. Daniel 1:8. But Daniel purposed where? Where? In his heart. He purposed in his heart. It wasn't just that he had some really good, you know, character. He had a really good heart. I'm not dismissing character. We need character. And we need our guys to get tough. I understand all that. But we had a lot of tough guys that grow up. We've had a lot of good wrestlers grow up. And they don't walk with God one bit. So don't think that the physical and the flesh is going to make you a great man of God. Because it's not. Daniel purposed in his heart. His heart was involved. He didn't want to defile himself. He wanted to please God. It was his walk with God that let him stand. We need to spend some time talking to our children and find out what's in their heart. And as we do, we can begin to correct it. And we can begin to point them heavenward. And number three, you can read them, study them on your own, and see what the Lord will do.